there are two things that I think stand out, at least in my own. I can't really make an argument from grammar, you know, from the structure of the sentence, but when I go through these imperatives, these list of eight imperatives, there are two that seem to kind of summarize what needs to happen. The one is this example, because this aspect, be an example, all of these other imperatives that were wrapping around it were about getting serious about being an example. Get serious about it. Now be an example. And then I can't help but recognize that over and over again in Scripture, it says we have to be thinking right if we're going to be accomplishing things the way God wants us to. And so I was brought back to this idea about being an example and meditating on what I'm supposed to do, who I'm serving, how I love Jesus. And in my own personal time, I came across this maybe 5-6 days ago, and I was meditating on the passage. And when I hit the word meditation, I was taken to meditate on my great God, the essence of my God. There's no searching his understanding. He is way beyond us. You know, he's just a phenomenal God we serve. And he is the real God. He is the creator, sustainer of the universe. And I thought about how powerful. I meditated on the word, and I went through different. I probably have 30 passages in that devotional notes that I have that morning, where I went from verse to verse, first on his essence, and then on his word, and then on his work, and then I ended with his presence. This powerful God is right here with us. And we need to remember that as we are challenged and held accountable for our witness, our walk. When I think about this example, he comes and he gives 6 items right after, if you notice, in his word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Well, when I think about it, a word and example, I'm mindful of the word. It's talking about, in that case, our spoken word, what we say and how we say it. And it says that it is a testimony of our heart. And we got to be really careful. And that's why we need to be meditating to have the right heart. I have been listening to biographies of the Puritans. I spent probably an hour and a half listening to audio tapes this afternoon, just on the lives of different significant Christians. All of them are of the Puritan time. And the commitment of these individuals, yet we think of them as, oh, they're wonderful Christian leaders in an easy time. Every single one that I had listened to was in a situation where they were persecuted. They were not allowed to even preach legally, and which took away their whole income and often took away their housing. But what was the manifestation of that? Their writing. They couldn't preach, so they went away and wrote these phenomenal books. And phenomenal gifts. You know, I think I listened to the biography, a little excerpt of a biography of Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry was a gift from God to all of us. You know, it's still the number one commentary that has been published and distributed. Do you recognize at age 3, the account says that he was reading his own Bible? At age 9, he was fluent in Greek and Hebrew. Talk about a gifted individual. I mean, 9, seriously? At 16, he enters postgraduate work. At 18, he graduates and enters his doctoral work. I mean, you're talking about brains. And then he comes back and says, but don't read it as a technical commentary. It is a commentary of application to life. It came out of his own personal devotions to his family. That's where the Matthew Henry, according to this biography, it was a compiling of his writings, of his personal family devotions for the most part. Why do I say that? We need to get a hold of our words. They matter. I think of this, therefore put away lying. It is easy to get caught up in that in our culture. We need to be people that are speaking the truth. Speaking the truth in love, as it would say in 4:15. And then be an example in life. And here he was saying that we are sojourners. This is not our home. We should not be living like our home. And we ought not to be fitting into this home, because we're just a passing through here. We're to be living like where our residence is. That's in heaven. You and I ought to have a conduct that is different than the world. I don't have time to read each one of the verses, which was obviously my intent. The second one is we should love our neighbors as ourselves. Here is a way. This is how we ought to respond to the violence in our neighborhood, the violence in our community, the violence in the world. We ought to sacrificially give of ourselves to meet the needs of people so that they see that we as individuals are so different than anything they've ever been exposed to. And then let the Spirit of God cause them to see that it's because of Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory, whom we preach. We give God the glory. 2 Corinthians passage says in 12:15, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." It isn't dependent on their love for us. If it is, we are no different than them. But we're doing it because of our love for God. That's what Paul was saying. He says, "You can beat me all you want. I'm going to come back and share the gospel because I love my Jesus, and my Jesus has made me an ambassador." Get the point? That's the type of example of love that we're to be. An example of faith. And it's talking about here is faithfulness. Moreover, it is required of a steward to be found faithful. Are you a faithful steward? Are you doing what God has called us to do? Or are we getting caught up in our own life? Are you faithful to one another? That's the issue. The more that we manifest this, the more our whole body will be magnetic to the world. It'll draw hurting, lost, drifting people here because they find what their heart so yearns for. Meaning and purpose and peace. I think of purity. We're in a culture that is immersed with garbage. And it's even hard to, you know, we get desensitized ourselves. And seriously, we see things on a regular basis that 20 years ago, people would have smashed their TV if it would have showed up on it. That's one of the reasons I don't have TV anymore. I ended it, and much as I love keeping up in the news and that sort of thing, I said, "Nah, this is garbage. We're done." Be an example in the words you use. You know what I'm thinking about here? As I was going about the day, I was thinking about my words to my wife. My words to other people. You know, when you go through the day, not everybody responds to you well. You ever notice that? Everybody didn't treat you like you'd want to be treated. They didn't speak to you the way you wanted to be spoken to. But it doesn't matter. I want to speak the way Jesus would want me to speak to them. Because I am His voice here. In the life you live. Talking about how you spent your day. How did you spend your day? In the selfless love you model. That's a huge one. Huge, huge, huge. And in the faith we manifest. And then the purity you live by. And this next one is going to drop off the screen. Does your example need to change? Seriously, you look up these categories above, these ones that I've listed above there. That's the point. If you're able to look up there and say, no, I got them all covered, then you need to repent of pride. Because we're not there. And it's clear that we're not there. I'll tell you why it's clear we're not there. Because we're not having enough of an impact on others around us. Let me tell you, changed lives make a difference. In the middle of the week, will you commit to change as you finish out the week? Do you understand what I'm saying? Will you purpose to be a loving example of sacrificial love to someone else? Will you speak kind words? I think of someone that I was a little upset with, to say the least. And I was so convicted in my own reading and devotional time before I saw them that instead of condemning what they had done, I came alongside and just said, you know what? This is really sad. This is really sad what's going on. And is there anything I can do to help you? You know, you recognize this is not good. You know what the individual said to me? Yeah, I got to change. I got to change. He said, you understand what I'm saying? It's interesting. I would not have had that admission from them had I come in there like I wanted to come in the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? Come in there blasting, and you don't become part of the solution. You're just more of the alienation and problem. There is a time for, you know, just frank, hard love that says, get out of my life here. If you're going to behave that way, I can't be around you. But I'll tell you what, there's many, many, many other times where we need to just come along and say, now listen, I hurt for you, and this is not a good direction you're going. Can't we just sit down and talk and work through another plan?